I remember when I was a kid, I was fascinated by the stories of King Arthur, of Camelot, of the Round Table, and especially of the sword Excalibur. Now, there's many stories about the sword, but the stories I love best is that this sword Excalibur was embedded in this rock. And it was said that only he who could pull the sword out of that rock was fit to be the great king of England. So all these knights came along and they all tried out to pull out the sword. None of them could do it, couldn't move it. And then there was this young fella, he's only 14, name was Arthur. He had a mate. His mate was involved, a bit older, in the lists, fighting the lists, the big competitions. And they fronted up on the day for it, and the young fella found he'd forgotten his sword. So he said to Arthur, "Would you mind going back home and getting it for me?" And Arthur said, "Fair enough." But it was so far to go back home that Arthur was going, and suddenly he saw his sword in the rock and thought, "Well, why should I go away home? I just grab this one." Pulled it and it came out. Oh, so the story goes. And that was Excalibur, which was a magical sword which achieved great things for Arthur. And it was written of this sword that is the finest sword in the land, that can slice through iron as though it were wood. Today we're talking about a sword that belongs to those who belong to Jesus Christ, a sword freely given to us, which is mightier than any Excalibur sword could ever be. For it is the sword of the Spirit, which the Bible tells us is the Word of God. Remember last week when we were going through the armour of God, we looked at the shield, and I said then that the shield was especially given as a gift. Well, it's the same word here. It's a gift, this sword, a gift freely given from the Lord God himself. And it's given to us for the battles that we must fight as we journey through earth to glory. Battles that Ephesians 6:12 tells us are not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Being very reminded just recently of how dark this world is and how much we need this sword to fight against those powers that would destroy us as God's people. And for this battle we have joined with our Saviour. He is our commander-in-chief. We are against the evil that seeks to control this world and control our lives. And we're against the force that must never be underestimated, and yet a force whose defeat has been assured since Calvary. And even as our leader, the Lord himself, is described in Revelation 1:16 as a supreme warrior, and I don't know if you noticed there, but he has, coming from his mouth, a two-edged sword. His word is like a two-edged sword. Even as he has this two-edged sword, which is his word, so he gives to us a sword. It is the sword of the Spirit. It is a mighty weapon that will not only defend us against the attacks of the evil one, which will come, but will enable us to take the battle right up to the evil one, as it's used by God, by his Spirit, to rescue souls and situations from evil. That's the exciting part, isn't it? The sword of the Spirit is further described in the Bible as the Word of God. And every child who's taught from Sunday school upwards that the sword is the Bible. How many of you did sword drills when you were in Christian Endeavor or something like that? You know sword drills? How many did them? Put your hand up. Come on, a few did. You know, where the Bible, they give you a verse and you've got to find the verse first. Then you stand up with your Bible and say, "I've got the sword." And then you hope you've got the right verse. Well, that is what it's talking about. And of course, the Bible itself supports this. It often speaks about the Word of God being a sword. which will divide asunder in Hebrews. It talks about the word being this power which can instruct you but also help you to overcome the issues of life. We read something from Psalm 119 today. Psalm 119 is an amazing psalm. You need to sit down and read the whole 176 verses sometime. We couldn't read the whole 176 verses because we would have been here a lot longer than we're going to be here. But it's that psalm which brings out something about the word which is very, very special. And it talks about the full benefits of knowing the word provides. There's so many special verses there that in the end I actually changed. I went from one lot and then I changed to another lot, but in the end I chose verses 9 to 32. It has that verse in it, verse 11. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Very important verse. And the rest of the verses that were read to us show how our knowledge of and our meditation upon the word of God helped the psalmist cope with the situations of his life, all the ups and downs that he went through, and all the slanderous attacks on him by his enemies that he had to endure. But what we need to realize is to say that the Bible is the sword, and if we know the word of God, we must be holding it in our hands, is actually not what Ephesians 6:17 is saying. See, I have known a lot of people who have a wonderful knowledge of the Bible, and I must admit, a better knowledge than I have, who can quote verse and reference till the cows come home. But it doesn't mean they actually have the sword of the Spirit in their hand. Consider again Ephesians 6:17, what it actually says. And the sword of the Spirit, it says, which is the word of God. Now, in fact, when you turn to the Bible, you will find that both in the Hebrew and the Greek, there are several different words used to describe that one English word, word. It's very confusing there. So when you come to the Old Testament, there's one Hebrew expression that translates the word word, which refers to the word of the Lord. But that's very different to the Hebrew expression that he used to translate word in Psalm 119. They're talking about different things. Psalm 119 is talking about the laws, the law of God, where it says the word of the Lord in the mouth of the prophet is talking about the word of God, his expression. When you come to the New Testament, you find at least two different words that are used for word there. You find the Logos talks about Jesus, the word of God, remember? And that's used when it talks about the word dividing asunder in Hebrews, that same word. But then there's also this word that we use in Ephesians, which is the word rhema. Heard of rhema? That's right. Because the word rhema, which we translate word, is a very special. It means the spoken or expressed in some way word of God. It's not just the knowledge that's in the book so much. It's that knowledge from the book being spoken out. So when you talk about the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, it is actually saying that the sword of the Spirit is when we take this word, this Bible which we know and love, and use it. So what's life saying? You can have all the knowledge of the Bible, but if it just stays in there and you never use it, you're not actually holding in your hand and using the sword. Because the sword of the Spirit is the active word of God. So, you know, we can actually study this Bible till we know every verse. But unless we use it, we haven't got our hand on the sword. Saul is speaking out that knowledge, speaking it to ourselves too, but also and especially speaking it to others. And you know, special knowledge we give, it's the gospel, and we're sharing it with others. But the one thing we mustn't, about this sword that we mustn't miss, is that it is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's the sword that belongs to the Spirit. It's in the control of the Spirit. So we're not to go out and spout the Bible in an indiscriminate way. You know, that's what they call sometimes Bible bashing, where you just show off your knowledge. Instead, we are to rely on the Spirit to speak through us His word, which is all in the Bible, which He promises to do, to speak it at the right time, and to give the right message. You know, there was a time when I worked for a firm where they had a firm vehicle. You know, it would belong to the work, and part of my job was to use that vehicle to drive and do things. Now, when I went out in that vehicle, I was allowed to drive in my style, which I must admit was a bit erratic at times, as long as I did what I should be doing in that vehicle. But I was there not to use the vehicle for myself, but to use it to achieve the aims and objectives of my employer. You know, in like manner, I am now seeking to serve the Lord God. He is my boss, if you like, as He's your boss, your Lord. And He desires that His message should go out to the whole world. And to enable me to do that, He has given me not a work van, but He's given me the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What happens is this: at times the Lord lays upon my heart a person who He wants me to talk to, or He will connect me with a person who comes into my situation, perhaps even unexpectedly. That person needs to hear from God His word, and then the Lord expects me to trust Him, and He gives me this sword to use, and the Spirit, because it's His sword, will give me the right word to say at the right time. You ever been that experience? And you say, "Oh, I don't know what to say." The Lord says, "Trust me. You've got the sword of the Spirit. It's by the Spirit." And the word comes forth at the right time. You know, the really exciting thing is the Spirit does just that. And that's what I've discovered. The sword of the Spirit is shown to be a very powerful, powerful weapon. The Spirit brings to mind a verse from the Bible or a principle from the Scripture that comforts, that challenges, that advises, that sustains, that encourages, that directs. And the person is touched by God simply because I or you trusted in the Spirit of God to wield His sword through me. You see, it's true for everyone, isn't it? It's not just true for pastors, not just true for Bible scholars. It's true for everyone. And even as I was allowed to drive that van, as in my own manner, as long as I did it legally, so God uses each one of us according to our own personality, according to our own character, and according to our ability. He will not ever ask you to do anything beyond what you can do. You may feel that you've only got perhaps a limited knowledge of the Scripture. The Spirit will use that, you know. But the point is, the more of the word you put in, of course, the more the Holy Spirit's got He can draw from. That's why we've got to study and learn this word, which is so important. We learn the word so it can then become active through us. It can become that word of the Spirit, of the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the most exciting weapon, I think, in the whole armoury of the Christian soldier. It's a very important piece, isn't it? I am constantly hearing stories from people in this congregation of how they've used the sword of the Spirit. That's right, I love hearing that. Just last Friday, someone rang me who was going through a huge time of crisis and still is going through that crisis time. Even before they rang me, they said that they'd been helped. How'd they been helped? Because someone else, another Christian in this group, was sitting at their desk and suddenly they had this great compulsion to ring this particular person. And they rang them. When they rang them, they had no idea the person was going through a crisis, but they heard about it straight away, you can be sure of that. And they were able to give them the word that God had planted in their hearts way before. And they were able to comfort and encourage them. Isn't that amazing? 10 minutes after I'd had that telephone conversation, still happened on Friday, I'm sure the Lord gives me his illustrations when I need them, but someone else came into my office and was talking to me, and they were sharing me the story of how they'd heard this story from a person again in this congregation, how this person had become a Christian. And they said, this person said that they were at that time not really pro-Christianity at all, if anything, a bit anti-Christianity. And someone came into their business. And this person started to share what they'd been through. And their life was really, really, really sucked. It was really bad. And they turned to him in amazement and said, "How on earth can you stay so positive when all that's been happening?" The person said, "Because I've got Jesus with me." Just simple like that. And then shared something of the promises that meant for that person from the Word. And after that, a couple of weeks after, it resulted in that first person becoming a Christian. See what I mean? That's the use of the sword of the Spirit. How effective that is, and how exciting it is that we've been given this weapon. They're just two everyday examples of regular believers using the sword of the Spirit. I think it's an awesome weapon against the evil one that we've been given. How the Spirit will bring to mind every promise in his word that we need at a particular time. So we not only console and comfort and challenge others, but we also do the same for ourselves, don't we? Now think about it. When did you... You've used the sword of the Spirit, haven't you? Every one of us. We can use it more. That's a thrilling thing. That's a really thrilling thing. He gives us the word in due season. The word that challenges, the word that encourages, the word that helps. The Spirit knows exactly what needs to be said. So he prompts us to say it. And especially, he keeps us faithful to the word of God in what we say. So, I guess in summing up, effectiveness with this weapon, this sword of the Spirit, depends on the Spirit, not us. That's the major thing. But we've got to be in obedience to the Spirit. For it is his sword. But we must take in the knowledge, the word, which is the word of God here. We must take in this knowledge at every opportunity. We mustn't treat it lightly. Now, if you've got an opportunity to sit under a sermon, it may well be boring, perhaps. But that may be a lot to do with the fact that you're not seeing it as God's word. Take the word from it. Make notes of it. Go to study. Learn it. Take it in. Because you see, no one ever knows when you may be called to wield the sword of the Spirit. And then it's there. It's been put in. But above all, we need to be constantly available to be used. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because I tell you this, the joy of using the sword of the Spirit is the most blessed thing. And I know all of you would say amen to that because you've known it. Doesn't get excited when that happens. And through it, through this use of this weapon, we not only find protection from the evil one, but we find the power to overcome the lies that he tells. And to see God's kingdom grow.